First time we did it, I was scared to death. She snuck out in that cotton dress. Jumped on in and we drove to the lake. Put her hand on my knee and said, I can't wait. I had everything we needed in the bed of my truck. Turns out my baby loves to fish. She wants to do it all the time. Early in the morning, in the middle of the night. She's hooked, and now she can't get enough. Man, that girl sure loves to fish.
Wow.
Come on. Wow. That is too funny.
That is pretty funny.
Oh, yeah. What better way to start off and going into the area fishing report, right?
Yep.
We're going to do a walk around the harbor, as we say.
Yep. Good opening song. Wow. Hit me with a hammer if I start liking that stuff and singing to it.
I don't know. I've already been hit with the hammer. I love it. I love that stuff.
It's creative.
Oh, I'm sorry, Barb. I'll open the door. Both of us are going at it. Okay. Let's see. Let's start off, I guess, anything in the middle of the harbor, the Alligator Creek Reef, deep holes, and
the Alligator
Loogie's Lair, anything down there.
Yeah. The Alligator Creek Reef, for the most part, has some Spanish mackerel scattered on it. Customers out there a couple days ago before this rain started, and he got into a few, not a lot, you know, so I'm going to say that they're probably going to be scattered in the holes, too. He could only catch them on shrimp again.
Free line and shrimp,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, free line and shrimp. He just got bored and threw his shrimp out there and finally hooked a Spanish on it and caught several more on just free line it. He couldn't get him to hit a spoon while he was trolling around on his way out to there. Nothing. So it's kind of weird that they're being
that slow moving bait. It's just slow drifting down in the water, and that's what's going to get him up.
I think so. I mean, I definitely think so. But it's even with the water temperature as cool as it is, it's still unusual that they would be
the mackerel would be that slow.
Yeah, that lethargic.
Yeah, you would just think mackerel would be just thriving in that colder water. But I guess if you're cold-blooded, you know, they don't have an internal heat system, 50-some degrees is still tough to get moving in.
Absolutely.
So mackerel in the middle of the harbor.
Been some snapper on the Alligator Creek Reef and a lot of small undersized cobia. Well, not a lot, but enough where it's not surprising that the guys are catching them, but they're all been, you know, in that 24 to 28 inch range,
just under keeper.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, let's take a trip. Go down to Cape Hayes. What's going on in Cape Hayes? A
lot of bonnethead sharks. Bonnethead sharks really moved in good everywhere this past week. Basically, since last Friday, I've been hearing scattered reports all over, pretty much the southern end of the harbor, Pirate Harbor, all the way down through the intercoastal and out on the beach of just bonnetheads. Placita trestle guys are getting them. But right there at Cape Hayes, they're getting the bonnet heads, some trout, some incidental pompano. They've been there enough where you're going to catch them, but not enough where you can really actually specifically target them.
So, nice accidental bycatch.
Absolutely.
What's going on in Turtle Bay, Bull Bay?
Turtle Bay's still got a lot of trout scattered out on the deeper flats there. And then the redfish, the keeper size ones, still really haven't moved. They're sitting down inside those deeper potholes in that 4 to 6, 7 feet of water. The little rat reds are all over in the bushes with a couple oddball legal size fish, but they're just barely legal, like that 18 to 24 inch range. And then the out on the front bar there, I guess there's been a lot of good-sized redfish and snook cruising up and down the bar there between the entrance of Turtle Bay going over towards Bull, but they aren't cooperating, and I think a lot of it has to do with that water temperature. You know, it might be something you get to chew later in the afternoon or really sit down still and wait, you know, wait for them to come by and try cut pinfish. That's been probably the best thing I've heard of for some of the bigger redfish is guys are either taking frozen pinfish or fresh pinfish and cutting them up. They haven't been doing real successful on the sardines or the ladyfish. It's the cut pinfish have been working best for them.
Well, I can see that. Now, heading from Devilfish Key through the Tailing Flats up towards Placita, anything going on?
Some trout. Pompano, there's been some Spanish mackerel and bonnet heads on the outside edge closest to the channel.
Closest to the ICW.
Yeah, sorry, closest to the ICW. And then they've been not haven't had a whole lot of reports up inside the creeks themselves, like Widden or Catfish. I haven't heard too many guys up.
I think
in
it's
there.
Too cold in there.
I think so too.
Late in the day, it might get some warmth, but with these overall rain and cold temperatures, those little creeks and those back bays are just too cold. The fish are not going to be there.
Yeah, and if they are there, they're just going to sit there like little icicles and look at you.
So
the afternoon bite for everybody in general has been best, like from 11 o'clock on. After this weekend, I think you'll see the water temperature come up a good 3 or 4 degrees if the weatherman's right.
Well, it's supposed to be 80 degrees tomorrow.
Now, right.
The rain has backed off a little bit here. I don't know about all over, but at least here over the store, it's getting milder, lesser rain, a little more. I mean, it's brighter out anyway.
Yeah, it's definitely brighter out. Yeah, it's starting to dissipate big time. The radar is showing little teeny tiny patches of green stuff everywhere rather than a big green blob.
Well, good.
Key West is still getting hammered.
Yeah, but, you know.
We're not there, so it don't matter.
Yeah, who cares? Anyway, let's see. But coming up the intercoastal, we got Placida going around the trestle. You said there was bonnet sharks. What else is going
on? Bonnet heads. There's been some really nice sheep's head. The numbers haven't been really good, but they've been averaging like 3 pounds plus. So a little better quality.
God, I hate it when I'm right.
Yeah, yeah. No, you have been. You've nailed it all along. There was only a couple day spurt there where it was like questionable whether you're going to be wrong on that one, you know. But overall, you're definitely right. You know, not numbers, but definitely a little better quality.
But if you get up going through the intercoastal, there's been some nice redfish sporadically in the bay right where the boat ramp from Placida comes out.
Yep. And they've also moved. There's been some of those fish have moved over to the docks on the backside of Little Gasparilla.
Now, I like to trout fish right on that. When you come out of the boat ramp right to the right, there's a big grass flat there. It's real shallow. It gets deeper as you go back by the docks, mm-hmm. and that's where the redfish have been. But right on that grass flat, there's usually some really good trout. Always my favorite bycatch there was the barracuda. Little tiny barracuda there.
Yeah.
And that was always fun to catch, just throwing spoons.
You also get the other ones of the sennet, which look exactly like them. I can't tell the difference between the two.
Well, chances are it could have been either or because, you know, I wouldn't have been.
It's just
kind
of neat.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't know we have both those here, you know, because I think they do catch baby barracudas. And I know I've caught plenty of what I thought were baby barracudas and turn out to be the other. Just useless.
See, I
useless
might have
fact
caught,
of the day.
I might have caught a lot of those and just never knew it because, you know, get them up. They're full of teeth, you know, shake them off and just go again. Never even thinking about it. But working our way up towards Lemon Bay, what have you been hearing up by Lemon Bay?
Same thing with the redfish there. They're underneath the docks for the most part, and they have been eating the cut pinfish. Cut pinfish has been probably the most productive thing around. Josh Greer pointed out to me the other day because he caught some real nice redfish last week on cut pinfish, and I mentioned it to a customer, and he went up there and fished a couple of the docks going out of Placida heading towards Lemon Bay, but then he fished over on the left-hand side over there towards, that's Don Pedro.
Mm-hmm.
Fished over on that side and caught a bunch of redfish all on cut pinfish. He ended up also catching a couple small flounder and a couple bluefish in addition to that while sitting them just on the bottom, which I thought was kind of funny.
Well, I think the cold weather, I think everything's just kind of meandering.
Yeah.
I don't think they're actually actively feeding, but okay, there's a meal right there. Let me take that.
Yeah, it's an opportunistic thing more than a reaction or, hey, I'm really hungry thing.
Yeah, I think it's just a survival mode. Okay, yeah. I'm cold, I'm chilly, I'm going to eat it, but all right, I'll take it.
Been a lot of trout. Trout, too, at the end of the docks down up towards Lemon Bay, going up towards the Indian Mounds Park.
Gotcha.
Hearing a lot of trout up in that area. There's also been some gags being caught in some of those deeper sand holes lately. Even though it's closed season.
They're a lot of fun, especially guys, on light tackle.
Yeah, I mean, they're catching them on incidental catch, pitching into some of those sand holes for trout and catching 23, 24-inch gags.
And that's an amazing fight back in those shallow water. When you get them in 5 feet of water, they fight. They get the pull of a redfish. I mean, they'll head shake at the surface. They'll, you know, you get the surface splashing, deep pulling. Those gags in that light tackle like that are a lot of fun.
Yeah, I've never caught a legal size gag anywhere inshore. I've always caught, you know, 15, 18 inches at the most.
I could tell you where, but Jeff Calkins would shoot me.
Oh, I know a couple spots too, but I've just, you know, never caught one in that shallow water.
Let's go ahead now towards the beaches, coming down along the barrier islands. I've heard of some Spanish.
Still some Spanish out there, mostly whiting and a few pompanos, incidental catch.
Now, the whiting, it's better to be lucky than good.
Yeah.
Because
they're in one spot heavy, and then it's a ghost town for miles.
Yeah, you got a concentration, then nothing, then a little concentration, then nothing. They're not scattered. If you either catch them or you don't.
Even Stump Pass, where that's usually a really consistent place for them, you know, talking to actually my cousin, his grandfather likes to fish there a lot, and he said it's been really, really hard there. He usually anchors up in the same spot every day to go catch whiting, and he says he hasn't been having very much luck at all.
He needs to move 100 yards either way and see what happens.
Yeah, and he has been moving around a little bit more. And then the other guys down there, same way, down on Boca Grande, they're getting them from First Street all the way down to the pass itself. But like you said, it's a little concentration. So they might catch three or four and then nothing again. And then you go a couple hundred yards, catch another couple dozen. You know, it's been super odd. And I think, you know, like we've been talking about, you know, we wait for that temperature to get down so low, and then all of a sudden it hits that spot, but then it hits the crucial point of too low.
Right. And anything on Sanibel?
Sanibel, I heard of a couple sharks last week before this front hit, some bonnet heads, some sandbar sharks, kind of a mixed variety of stuff. And other than that, it's been sheep's head around the Sanibel Causeway there. Few whiting, a lot of sail cats too. One guy was getting a lot of sail cats. Not any big ones, all little guys. He said they were all like 10 to 14 inches.
Young and dumb and don't care about the
and
cold.
And spazzes. He was so worried about it because they were just, you know, he's so used to catching regular sail cats. He said when they're small, they're just totally rambunctious.
They're the ones that stick you. They're the ones that are really going to hurt you.
Yeah, they're the dangerous ones.
That's why I keep that fish gripper because...
Best tool you ever showed me.
The problem with most of them is they won't close small enough for those little catfish.
Right.
And you've got to really hold them little ones because they go nuts and they'll stick you. And it doesn't matter if you get stuck by a 4-inch one or a 20-inch one. It still really hurts. So
absolutely.
Those little grippers are great. But it's surprising with this cold weather, they'd have to be small because any of the larger catfish are south. The Keys got to be inundated with them.
Yeah, because I haven't heard of really any big catfish at all, even the hardheads, even you know, up in the canals, it's quiet with catfish.
You know, this might be a good chance for the Keys to lose any baby lionfish because those catfish will eat anything that moves.
That would be nice.
You know, I think the smaller ones, those catfish, just try and suck them up. And even if they killed the catfish, I mean, it's one for one, so, you know, not too bad.
Yeah.
But I would be really surprised if they don't start chowing down on those little lionfish before long. Because look at on the snook in the rivers and stuff. We had those armored catfish for years. Now, all of a sudden, every time they sample any of the snook upriver and dissect them, they got armored catfish in their bellies.
Well, even some of the redfish that Jeff has caught in the past, they've had armored catfish in them, too.
Tarpon as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tarpon doesn't surprise me a bit.
But anyway, getting back down around Sanibel, coming up inside the where the mouth of the Caloosahatchee dumps out inside behind Sanibel. I don't even know the name of that Ponarasa, but
You got St. James City, Redfish Pass.
Right, but St. James City down towards there.
Blind Pass is the next one down?
Yeah, that's the one down. So anyway, what's going on back in the flats behind the islands?
Quite a few pompanos scattered throughout there. There's been a lot of bigger trout in some of those deeper sand holes with some bonnet heads. And any of the oyster patches, some of the deeper, you know, because down there you've got mangrove shoreline, but right underneath those bushes will be 6-8 feet deep in some of those spots. Those deeper holes under the bushes have been holding a few better quality redfish.
How's the cut pinfish down there? You think that'd be the key?
I would try it, absolutely. I mean, if the guys are having such scattered luck with it around here and up in the intercoastal, I would absolutely be trying it down there.
What about Rockport Rattlers putting the rattling jig heads on a piece of pinfish?
Definitely not going to hurt. I mean, having a little bit of sound with that smell, absolutely.
Yeah, just give it a little tick up and let it fall back down.
Yeah.
try and get a little movement without any reeling in, you know.
Right.
Keep it in the spot, but just get it to go a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And plus, while you're moving it, it's going to knock some of the scales off that you've already cut and add a little bit of flash to the water, yet still be very subtle.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good. Now, have you heard anything on the Coosawhatchie?
I have not, which is surprising because, I mean, usually those guys are fishing up there around the 75 bridge and the
railroad trestle and
And hitting those big snook and big tarpon, but I have not heard of anything up there yet.
I think that's just weather. I think it's just too cold and miserable to be hanging out in the water out there. But coming back up around St. James City, Sheephead, anything else moving in under Pompano?
Some of the Pompano and some nice trout and a few redfish from there up towards Captiva Rocks. And then over in Captiva Pass and Redfish Pass, they've been getting a few Pompano. Occasional bigger redfish. There's been a few bull reds coming through. There is incidental catches where the guys have been playing for whatever. and then the bonnethead sharks have been the key thing. Redfish passed before this front came through. There was some really good snapper in there. And then Captiva Pass, I would imagine, would be the same way.
A lot of red grouper, gag grouper,
yeah.
Little if any keepers, but a lot of small grouper being there at this time of year.
Yeah, gags are usually real predominant in there, and the baby redfish, or red grouper, I'm sorry.
But let's go over to Matt Lachey.
Matt Lachey's been quiet this past probably week. You know, it's been odd. The only thing I heard about was a guy got some sheep's head while in his kayak screwing around on some of the little sand holes over there. But other than that, that's really about the only thing I've heard of down in there. It's kind of weird.
Well, I know Bernstor's got trout and sheephead, but let's jump up to Pirate Harbor. What's going on up there?
Trout, sheep's head there again. Most of the trout there have been really, really small. The bigger trout seem to be staying concentrated out along the edge of the outside channel around the ice house, and then also heading between the ice house down towards the north island there at Bernstor. In that little bit deeper 4 to 6 feet of water range. Been some silver trout mixed in with those too, along with an oddball Spanish mackerel just to steal your bait. The puffer fish have been phenomenal at taking baits and creating job security with selling soft plastics.
I like puffers. I like the puffers. I mean, they're great. They pop those little bright tails off every time. They make us a lot of money.
Yeah, the bonnet heads are still scattered all over there on the flats. I heard of some juvenile tarpon being a little bit active just before this front came through up inside, but I haven't heard of any real good pompano or trout up inside the way it was last year and pretty much in years past. Most of them have been real little guys.
So going up the east side, I know there's a lot of redfish back around the islands, but they're really, really tough to get to bite.
Real tough.
It's a really hard year on the east side, I think, because every time that incoming tide hits, that cold water comes out of the Gulf and just, you know, freezes that side up. I think that's why the west side's been doing so much better.
Right.
Outgoing tides bring the warmer waters out of the creeks and the rivers, and it doesn't get that flux of water from the Gulf.
Right. So I would have to agree with you on that without a doubt.
Outside the bar over on the east side, I'm hearing pompano, I'm hearing some Spanish mackerel, but you're out in 5-6 feet of water for those.
Yeah,
Not up by the bar at all. You're really out a ways from the bar.
Yeah. Yeah, most of those guys that have been doing with any minimal success have all been, that's probably almost an eighth of a mile from the shoreline, maybe more.
Oh, from the shore, more than that. But from the sandbar, I would say an eighth of a mile is pretty accurate. I mean, you're out there a ways. You're a few hundred yards off. Now, coming up the east side, hitting Alligator Creek, tons of little trout. But
tons of little trout. Been some pompano, a couple silver trout. A few oddball mangrove snapper, even up inside. I mean, it actually got cold enough where those trout have moved up inside to, Bernstor Isles.
Yeah, through the locks there. Yeah. That's a lot of snapper sheephead right there by the locks.
And even as you make that turn into the right, in that deeper shoreline there, guys been getting some not too bad trout. No numbers, but a little bit better quality trout.
Yeah, they have their own kind of rim, same as PGI has, that back canal that goes all the way around the back. It's got some good water in it. It's deep. It warms up good in the afternoon, but it's deep enough where they can hide when the water's cold overnight and in the mornings, and then feed through the middays.
Right.
But coming back out of there, Mangrove Whorehouse Point, Ponce de Leon?
Just some little black drum up in there. A lot of little mangrove snapper, some okay sheep's head, but nothing to write home about. And then there's been some redfish scattered out there under the bushes around the barge canal. But most of those fish have been very, very small. Very few oversized or legal size fish in there. The Spanish mackerel, few bluefish on the outside of the bar. The mullet just started to show back up over there in the last few days. And I would imagine that there'd be some pompano in them. The other thing, too, a lot of guys have been catching mixed in with all these pompano or baby permit, you know, which is normal.
That's what Kale's been talking about a lot. You know, you're catching pompano or permit or pominettas, and it's hard to tell which one's which. But the lucky thing is they both have the same size limit.
Yeah, exactly. At least the Game and Fish was relatively sharp with coming up with that one to keep them the same.
Well, there's one. Okay, you guys... All right, FWC, I'm saying it out loud. You got one right. All right, we're going to applaud you on that one. You know, take it while you can get it because, that's one. All right, now, Ponce de Leon and the PGI canals, there was a lot of jacks there. How have the jacks been doing?
I haven't heard of too many jacks in general in the last several days prior to this front coming through. They were still doing really good. The only thing that I did hear about towards the beginning of this week before all this stuff hit was the jacks got a little bit bigger. There was fewer of them, but they jumped up a little bit by a couple pounds. And then the black drum have gone from really big down to much smaller. Hearing of a lot of little 3 to 10 pound black drum in there.
Okay. 41 Bridge, the Peace River Basin there, the mouth of the Peace River, 41, I-75.
All that area from the 41 Bridge up to I-75, the whiting have been really kind of scattered and tough, but they've been a little bit better quality. Nice.
Well, yeah, I got to call it, it's not quite that bad, but
yeah.
For some reason or other, the fishing just hasn't gotten that good up here around the bridges right now.
Yeah, at all.
And it should be great because this cold water should be bringing a ton of fish to 41, I-75. There should be
redfish up there right now in decent numbers. The whiting should be in really good numbers.
I think the only person catching redfish up there is that one guy who just moved down a while back, and he's ate up with it.
Oh, yeah.
He's doing good along that North Shore.
Richard,
yeah, because he's fishing real hard that area from 41, all those docks on that north side of the river, all the way up through to whatever that development is with that huge dock and basin up there.
Yeah,
but he's catching redfish underneath there, but I think he's got it down pat. He really worked at it.
Right.
He spent weeks
figuring
out.
He's put a lot of time into it.
And that's one of the things it takes if you're going to catch fish in those areas, really learning where they're going to be.
Especially that river. I mean, as beautiful as that river is with all the water flow and everything else, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of people fish it all the time and have very minimal to no success.
Even Jeff Calkins, though. Jeff was up, and Jeff is the river master. Nobody knows that river like Jeff. And he trolled, he fished, he got one 25-pound gar.
Right.
That was the extent of his day. And for Jeff to get one gar, it's slow up on the river right now.
Exactly. Even all the way up to Shell Creek. I mean, the only thing that might change, though, is all this rain might light up some of that area up there around the Shell Creek area. Even along 41, it might get some of that stuff.
That's where I was just going to go. I was going to talk about the spillways. With as much rain as we've had, they were calling for a quarter inch, half inch. We've had 2-3 inches of rain. Those
my rain gauge is at 3.25 inches this morning before I came into work from whatever when I emptied it on Monday.
Let's throw a little crappie and bass in here because the spillways along the Hillsborough are going to be going crazy. The crappie are going to be biting. The bass should be going good. Where the creek cuts into Lake Betty right off of Conway there, that's going to be a real good spot to stand. You're going to catch a ton of bass there. Take a scatter wrap and just work that mouth of that little creek coming in because
Absolutely. They're
going to be there. You're talking, you know, anywhere from 1 to 6 pound bass. I mean, there's some monsters living in there.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to find them, but when that water starts flowing out, they really bunch up to that. And up along Hillsborough, those canals with all the spillways.
Price Road has got some spillways too. You know, some of those canals back off of Price heading south towards Raintree.
Yeah, there's,
you know, there's some great, pretty fishy areas back in there. Just make sure you have a tank of gas with you and a GPS because it's easy to get discombobulated.
Not so much anymore. Have you been up along Price and Toledo Blade?
Price and Toledo Blade is terrifying, but all that area right down there is still around Raintree. Some of those areas are still kind of...
pretty desolate, pretty backwoods right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you start hearing a banjo, you went a little far.
Yeah, but definitely that area right there at Price and Toledo Blade, it's unbelievable how much that's developed there.
And the fishing is still real good in those canals. I'd go up Toledo Blade from 41, make a left on Price, and go down the first one on the left. Little tiny area to fish, but great. I've done some really nice bass there. If you get down to a couple of the next ones, you got a lot more water, and you've got some spillways right there that I would definitely be trying right now. I would try some critter baits there. The creatures, not so much the worm, but the ones that look like little bugs and stuff. That I would be fishing those Texas-style sliding sinker, weedless rig, bounce them along the right underneath those dams. I think you're going to do real good.
Absolutely.
So, anyway, a little bit of freshwater throwing in there because we have some amazing freshwater fishing. I mean,
some absolutely amazing freshwater fishing, but people just don't realize it.
It's close.
It's that close, but they also, I think they anticipate it being like up north where they can pull up to a spot and walk the banks and fish for a long period of time versus here you fish for a spot for 10 minutes, walk across the street, fish the other side of the road for 10 minutes, then drive 2 minutes down the road and fish the next two or three spots. And
there's just not enough room to maneuver around.
Yeah,
you're dealing with a canal or the end of a canal, and you just want to fish that spot, give it a few minutes, you know, hit anything, go to the next one.
Yeah.
More like when you were up north, you're walking around a lake, you're constantly changing where you are.
Right.
Here you literally have to change where you are.
Yeah, exactly. And it's phenomenal fishing, but that's how you find, especially this time of year, you'll find the crappie. If you're not going to move, I mean, you could sit there and wait for the bass to come along and catch one here and one there, waiting long periods of time in between bites. But if you move from spot to spot to spot, that's where you'll find those clusters of crappie that are balled up.
Well, let's go up on the Myakka River from there. How's the Myakka been doing? I haven't heard much. I heard a lot of redfish down at the mouth a couple weeks ago. But I haven't had anybody talk to me about what's been going on in the Myakka lately.
Between 776 heading up towards the first major bend, heading towards back towards 41.
Right.
There's those couple. There's that one island on the northwest side, I guess it is. It's about a mile up from 776 on the left. Yep. There's a little tiny island right there, and there's some oyster patches right there. A guy did real good on some nice trout. When was he in here? He was in here Monday or Friday. I can't remember. And he caught not a lot of big trout, or not a lot of trout, but he caught one that was 26 inches.
Nice fish.
And then the other ones were averaging 18 to 22 inches, you know, so he caught a few fish, but they're good quality.
We had a real nice couple came in. I was telling them about fishing the horseshoe and Tippecanoe, and they did great on the trout over there. They caught real nice redfish at the Eljabeen end of the Myakka cutoff. Up along Cattle Dock, there's been some small redfish there, some Spanish mackerel up along that shoreline.
Really?
Not so much out in the middle of the river, but more on the west side of, if you're coming from the harbor going to Eljabeen, it'd be on the left, you know,
right.
That western
between
side.
Between Trout Creek and Cattle Dock?
Yeah, and that's been actually doing pretty good right there.
Nice.
It's not fished much, but I was telling him to go there because nobody stops. Everybody goes by it.
Absolutely.
But I've actually had pretty good luck there.
The only time I've ever fished that area, honestly, is for tarpon and cobia in the heart of the summertime.
Fish together.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you get up around Trout Creek, you got some nice redfish, a few trout in there. Then as you're coming south towards Oyster Creek, had some good redfish, bigger ones.
Which one is Oyster Creek?
That's the one with the post out front, and then it has the lake. And when you go up in, it has the lake and then goes on to the little...
Oh, line. Okay. Okay.
It's the only one with an actual tidal pond in the back of it.
Right.
But that area had some nice redfish. They're really, really slow, though. Like
right.
You say, I would try your cut pinfish. I would try those rattling jig heads on it because anything you can do to enhance the bite at this point is going to be really helpful. But going down the west wall, you heard anything down south on along that wall?
Down basically from the Blowdown Creek.
Right.
The mouth of that has had a few bigger redfish, but not a lot. And then from there south, it seems like the guys have been catching a lot of smaller, well, I would call them smaller, but like 15 to 20 inch redfish scattered along the bushes and out on the flats. And there also seems to be a lot of pompano scattered throughout that whole thing up on the bar with some trout and bonnet heads. It seems like that blowdown creek, if you come straight out from it and just drift that entire flat heading down towards Cape Hayes, is a good mixed variety of just trout and pompano and bonnet heads, few bigger redfish, and there even been a few cobia cruising along through there too.
Well, one thing we didn't touch on, out in the Gulf, tons of stories of amberjack, lots of amberjacks out there.
Yeah, a lot of amberjack, a lot of Almaco jacks too. Hearing a lot of reports of Almaco jacks in the past week. And most people think that they're just small, undersized amberjacks. They're a little tricky to tell if you don't know what they are, you know, as far as looking at them. But an Almaco jack is taller. For its length, you know, a 22, 24-inch Almaco, it's going to be as tall or taller than, say, a 25-pound AJ. You know, they're
shorter,
pretty,
stockier.
Yeah. They've been getting those, some Barracuda. The snapper bite was really good. Robert went out on Tuesday with his brother and a friend of theirs, and they got into some really good mangrove snapper. He got one yellowtail. It was 3.5 pounds.
Nice. Very nice.
And they went to Sherman's Reef. That's where they were fishing at, which Sherman's Reef is what, 15 miles, 16
sure.
miles out and south?
I'm not sure where it is.
And then they stopped at the School Bus Reef, got into some more mangs, some really nice porgies, a couple sheep's head. They caught a ton of gags. He was, and all on shrimp. He said they could have caught three guy limits of gags on shrimp. They got gags up to 30 inches.
Yeah, I don't understand. You know, okay, we gave you the one in Florida with the legal on permanent pompano, but I'm telling you, this whole thing with the gags being closed at this time of year is a sin.
Yeah.
It's a real sin. I mean, it's just, you know, I'm sorry, guys. Take your office door closing on your head a few times. Wake up. You know?
Right.
It just annoys me.
Yeah.
Oh, so,
yeah.
Anyway, not much for shark activity around.
No.
Not heard much of anything for shark.
I think that water temperature finally got cold enough where it just kind of shut them off a little bit.
Well, what's normal for this time of year. We just had a guy come in wanting to buy a shark reel, and I said, bud, you're better off waiting. We got a big tent sale coming up in
March. March 15th.
And I just turned around to look for that note I brought back here to everybody who was coming, and I don't know what I did with it. I thought I set it down right here. We've got so many big names coming this year. Mark Nichols, the owner of DOA, is going to be demonstrating how to use DOAs. Eric, the owner of MirrorLure, and Eric's a nice guy. He's going to have a casting tank in front of him showing how to use MirrorLures, showing off the 17s. We've got a lot of broken glass. They're going to be a good special on those. You're going to buy a couple, get one free or something. Mark is going to be discounting his stuff. Gary Loomis is going to be here for the tent sale March 15th. And you're going to be able to buy a TFO rod from Gary Loomis, and he's talking about giving a great discount. He's going to sign the rods for you. We might have a buy one, get one something, but we're looking at some really cool stuff with Temple Fork this year. And
the owner, founder of Star Rods will be here.
Yep.
The guy from American Fishing Wire / High Seas Fluorocarbon will be here making
Sean's
some pretty good
be
deals.
Here. He's what a nice guy. I mean, American Fishing Wire, great company. We carry each year. We got more and more of their stuff in stock. They're just so good to deal with.
Yeah.
Even though they're out of the Northeast, I mean, you know, it's forgivable in this case.
Yes. Yeah, and you know, the Penn guys, Quantum will be here.
It's going to be
Rapala will be here.
Storm. We got Storm coming. The hottest selling lure we had all year was that Storm Twitching.
Yeah,
and
that thing's
wow.
been scary.
And
I had a guy buy some of those to take back down to Cape Coral with him, and he's doing just as good down there because I told him to give me a call if he did all right because his buddy up here did so well trolling him and his buddy up here that lives here. He took three with him down there. He caught snook, he caught redfish, he caught mangrove snapper, baby tarpon, all down there. And then he went out and caught some bass just over on the other side of the street from him in the freshwater canal.
So he's
been whacking them on that. It's kind of scary.
And that storm bait continues to rock, continues to catch fish. and they're going to be here at the tent sale, and that's going to be a great deal on those storm baits because these are the factories, and they can do whatever they want to do. You know what I mean? It's up to them. We don't have a say in what they do. So,
yeah,
you know, I just ask them, you know, please let me have something, you know, yeah, a little something off the bottom of that would be nice.
Yeah.
But, you know, whether we get it or not, it's not the important thing. This is a day for people to meet the factories, talk to the people who make the products. And when you own the company, you make the products, you manufacture it, you know how to use them.
Yeah.
And that's the cool part. The people get to meet. They get a good deal on their stuff. Plus, they get to the guy who's building it, you know.
Well,
you
can, and don't be afraid. You know, the coolest part is most of the customers aren't afraid to ask questions or make complaints.
Well, there are customers. They're cool. You know,
make complaints or make positive points about the stuff. But some of these lures, there's some little tricks to them that make it so much simpler. I mean, Mark was showing those airheads last year, and I didn't get to see him and had to wait until he was actually ready to leave before I could peg him down to show me how to work it and work it properly, because I had it wrong. You know, I mean, even with your guidance on it, I was still rigging it wrong, and watching him do it and actually physically seeing it swim through the water after he rigged it, it clicked. But until then, just kind of discussing it, it was a little tricky for me to figure out.
And the money people have spent here, and thank you for doing that, we're going to use a nice chunk to buy everybody a casting tank so that when you come, you're going to be able to see the owner of this company throwing his own lures, showing you how they work. And it's a little expensive, but you guys are worth it. We're going to put, you know, we try and put money back, like with this and the other stuff that we do, to so you guys can get better at what you're doing, have more fun, and it's a win-win for both of us, because
absolutely,
the more stuff that, the more we can help you guys, the more fun you're having. You know, you guys spend a little more money with us, it keeps us, I don't have to get a real job, I can stay with 80-90 hours a week doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, it's all good.
And 80-90 hours isn't bad if you enjoy it. If you're miserable at it, then you need to find something else to do in life.
Yeah. But I'm getting better again. I was tired for a while, but
yeah,
things are going good now. I'm
it's finally starting
really
to
happy.
Smooth up a little
yeah,
bit.
Everything's going pretty good. The rain's killing me. We've got all these projects due at the house. And, you know, when you need concrete work, you know, you call Don Riggs. And once Don said he was going to come out and do the job,
we have to
what
put
a pressure
our sign
off.
Up too.
You know, he's just the most amazing guy, Don Riggs is. And, you know, Chuck came out and did more woodwork at the house, built more stuff. He was a little annoyed at me because I wanted these round ends on this bench he was building. And we're sitting there putting, you know, buckets on there and garbage can lids and drawing circles and tracing. And as always, everything Chuck does came out beautiful. So, you
big
know.
Big surprise there.
Yeah. But, you know, been really lucky. I know these people, Chuck from Chuck's Custom Carpentry, Don Riggs Concrete. When you need something done, you call the right guy for it.
Absolutely.
It makes it so much better. If the rain would back off and they could actually show up.
Right.
But anyway, back to the fishing bit of this. Any last thoughts today on this?
Take advantage of these next few days of beautiful weather, because supposedly there's another little front coming through.
Yeah, next Wednesday,
week.
Isn't it?
I think so.
And
I don't know how significant it's going to be, but you know, this weekend's supposed to be absolutely spectacular, and I'm sure there will be a lot of people out there because of cabin fever after being stuck inside for the last 3 days.
Well, now, take.
So,
I don't know where that came from.
That was pretty
like,
good.
Yeah, well, we'll take that as it comes. Yeah. But anyway, so anything else we can talk about?
Not too much. I think we kind of covered it all. I think if anyone has any questions, definitely stop in or call us, because, I mean, we're always willing to help out any way we possibly can.
941-625-3888 is the number for Fish and Frank's.
Well, now take down your fishing pole and meet me.
We're going to leave you with a little Andy Griffin.
We may not get a bite
wow.
all day,
wow.
but don't you rush away.
Radio fishing is just getting weird.
Blaze to rest your bones and mighty fine for
so, I think this is a good way to close, right?
Yeah, that's cute.
Setting in the shade.
Well, this is Fish and Frank over here. I'm in the production chair, and that's Robert across from me.
In the hot seat.
In the hot seat. And we're going to let you whistle like a fool and join the rest of your day.
And wander by the fishing hole like a